Brian, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you.
The exhibition 30 Americans, on view now at the Cincinnati Art Museum, has a number of distinctive elements. And one of those elements is that the content of the show is different at each of its venues, although the group of artists included stays the same. What's going on here?
That's correct. The show is a traveling exhibition that has been presented at several American museums, but it originated with the Rubel Family Collection, a private collection of contemporary art that's based in Miami. They are the ones who have collected the majority of the art that visitors will see at the museum, and they're the ones who suggested that the 30 artists who are in the show be the ones that stay no matter the details of individual presentation. And so they own approximately 280 or even 300 works by these artists, far more than we could fit into our galleries. The curators at each institution then sift through that work and decide which stories they want to tell through the exhibition, how they can customize it for their individual audiences. I worked with my co-curator, Rahima Barber, who is the director and chief curator of a university gallery in Illinois, to select approximately 60 to 65 artworks that are on view at the Cincinnati Art Museum. We have also integrated works from the Cincinnati Art Museum collection because the museum has over the years supported many of these same artists.
So what are some of the pieces that belong to the museum that are in the show?
Visitors who come to the museum regularly will recognize our painting by Glenn Ligon, who is a prominent African-American artist based in New York who works primarily with text. The work that's in the show is a black text on white painting that uses stencils to take excerpts from Ralph Ellison's novel Invisible Man and repeat them over and over again on the canvas. Additionally, visitors might remember the exhibition in 2012 with the artist Nick Cave. He creates sound suits, or these brightly colored, very dramatic, full-body costumes that can be worn by performers and are very vibrant and oftentimes make noise. We are presenting them on mannequins in this exhibition. They function more like sculptures, but the Rubels have some in their collection, and we have one in ours, and we've taken one from each.
Well, this is a very diverse show, and it includes paintings and photography and sculptures and videos and installations. And is that the reason that it's not confined to the temporary exhibition galleries, but is spread throughout the museum?
I think that's part of it. You're right to say that if there's a way that a contemporary artist works, it's probably represented at some point in this exhibition. But additionally, the benefit of presenting a contemporary art exhibition in a museum that houses art from all times and all cultures is that we can contextualize these new works with older masterpieces. And so when thinking about how to plan this exhibition, we knew it would take up our largest temporary exhibition spaces on the museum's second floor, but that there were other opportunities we had to place contemporary artworks from this exhibition alongside paintings or other artworks that visitors may be familiar with and which generate a very rich dialogue. I'll give you just one example. There's a 25-foot long and 12.5-foot tall painting by the artist Kehinde Wiley. It's really almost a mural-sized canvas hanging in our Schmidlap wing, which is just off the main lobby. On either side of it hang our Gainsborough painting, an 18th-century British portrait, and our Van Dyck, a 17th-century Flemish work. Wiley himself mimics or paints in the style of old masters, but working in collaboration with his subjects, inserts African-American figures to those traditional scenes. The kinds of people that you would not necessarily see in the old master galleries of a typical museum are here presented as monumental. In the case of the painting that's on view, it's almost like a pietà pose, a reclining black man is seen in the midst of flowers. And the other works from the collection from earlier centuries give context to this work that was made in 2008.
Well, one of the themes that is mentioned is that the characters that people play and how they are caricatured and how individual rights are shaped by politics. And how does the exhibition present those kind of ethereal ideas?
Sure. It was our great pleasure to work on how to structure the exhibition. When you have a solo exhibition, when you have an exhibition that's devoted to Van Gogh's career, as the museum will have later this year, you oftentimes put the early work in the first room, the mid-career work in the second room, and the late work in the third room. With 30 artists working across four decades in a variety of styles and with a variety of techniques, we wanted to find some common through lines that would help visitors get a purchase on what it is that they're looking at. So my co-curator, Rahima Barber, identified three themes that we wished to explore in a little bit more depth. You've mentioned two of them, myths and characters as one, and then bodies and the body politic, issues around representation and who gets depicted in mainstream media, who gets included in art history and who doesn't. And the third has to do with class and then the economy and the kind of commodification of African-American culture, how it's sold back to communities, how athletes and celebrities are elevated to amazingly high positions and treated as demigods. The artworks address those issues in disparate ways. I'll just give you a couple of examples from the myths and caricatures section. There's a photographer based in New York named Xaviera Simmons, who trained as a theater actress and makes self-portraits. But she's very aware of the different ways in which African-American bodies have been depicted. And the self-portraits that we have on view in the exhibition take both a traditional theater style called blackface, a particular kind of theatrical makeup that was popular in the 19th and 20th centuries. She puts on blackface and has an exaggerated red makeup, lips and things like that. But she also sits in one of the pictures in a pose that's reminiscent of a Black Panther political poster. So it's an image that's a direct reference to Huey P. Newton. She's taking two different representations of African Americans and how they were presented to the world and conflating them to create something entirely new.
Well, I'm also interested in the special programs every Sunday during the run of this exhibition. What goes on then, and how can people find out more about those programs?
Well, One thing that is important for each institution to do is to connect this exhibition to the communities that we serve. And we've decided in part to do a whole bunch of programming, perhaps even more public programs than we do for typical temporary exhibitions, with the hope that we can engage with various community groups. We have a series of programs called 30 in 30, where you can learn about 30 Americans in 30 minutes. And that's every Sunday at 2 p.m. in a gallery, well, actually throughout the museum, though many of the programs will take place in a gallery directly opposite our cafe. Those programs take different forms. They might be a book talk in conjunction with the public library. We're going to have a book club about Invisible Man, the Ralph Ellison novel I mentioned. We're going to have musical performances. We're going to have art-making experiences. We're going to have lectures and conversations. For example, we recently had one with the City Gospel Mission. The idea is to work with community partners and introduce the artists and the themes that they address in their artworks and relate it back to the Cincinnati community and the conversations we're having here. It's an important time, not only because it's an election year, but there are also issues, social and political issues, that are on everybody's lips in Cincinnati. And these artists address those in a universal manner, but from a very distinct African-American perspective. And I think it's important for us to continue those conversations and contextualize the artworks.
What can you tell us about the basis for the show, the Rubel Family Collection? Who are the Rubels, and do you know what their impetus was for making the collection?
I do. The Rubels are longtime collectors of contemporary art. They began their collection in the mid-1960s when he was a medical student and she was a public school teacher. They have fueled their passion through various business endeavors. They're currently hotel owners, and that's what gives them the financial capacity to be very active collectors of contemporary art. Over those five decades, they've gathered almost 8,000 works. And in the early 1990s, they bought a warehouse in Miami, which they've converted into a public-facing institution. It has galleries, it has education programs for kids, it has a library for scholars. It's entirely privately funded and only shows art from their collection, but it is a very public-spirited institution. In talking with the Rubels when they visited for the opening of the exhibition in advance of its presentation, Mira Rubel in particular talked about how she couldn't imagine collecting the art of dead artists because there's almost like an absentee relationship. She admires art history and an artistic precedent, but I think they really get a charge and feel something special when they're able to develop a relationship with the artists that they are interested in supporting. And many times if you are a collector or interested in art, one of the best feelings that you can have is to be able to support someone at the outset of their career. And maybe the money you spend on buying one of their artworks helps them to make the decision to leave a part-time job and pursue their art more fully or do things like that. So in addition to how an encyclopedic museum like the Cincinnati Art Museum should present contemporary art because we can give it a special context and present it alongside history, I think they find a real special feeling when in working with contemporary artists themselves.
Well, 30 Americans brings ideas as well as art to the Cincinnati Art Museum. Thanks so much, Brian, for coming in to talk with us about it.
It's been a real pleasure.
We've been talking with Brian Scholes, curator of photography at the Cincinnati Art Museum, about the current special exhibition, 30 Americans. For a link to more information, cwvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Jane Durrell.